And so we're going to look at this word of new beginnings as we are in the middle of these 14 days of prayer. I appreciate so much all that you've done in prayer and joining us in prayer. Our church has, for the last year, had a Micah 6:8 commission. How do we do justice by having mercy on each other and what we don't understand and some of our ignorance and some of our pride? How do we have mercy on each other in order to talk about justice, walk humbly with our God, and then begin something new? And so we've been doing that. We'll be sharing next week some very new steps our church is taking to witness to our world about the healing process in reconciliation race that has to happen. But this week, we want to look at how we begin, because here is God's word for every one of us in this room. How you begin determines your blessings. I'm going to say another way. Here it is. Beginnings are blueprints. So when God offers a new beginning, and I'm telling you today, I may not know you, I may have no clue what your story, I'm telling you, I know the God who knows you, He is starting a new thing in your life today. But it's really important how you begin that, what you do with it. Because how you begin tends to be the blueprint of how the rest of it goes. Your first determines your future. It was a few weeks ago that I had to drive, I had to take a flight out to Dulles Airport to go to our Assemblies of God General Convention. And so what I decided to do was I decided to leave to travel to Dulles like it was 1 a.m. in the morning instead of 10 a.m. during summer traffic on a Saturday. And my beginning was the blueprint for the rest of my day. All right? I mean, the speed limit was the speed limit, and the person at the counter checking me in was the person. The policies of the airport were the policies of the airport. But the way I began affected everything I felt about how that experience went. You see, I ended up 10 minutes too late for baggage check-in. Not the flight. No, I could have gotten on the flight. I missed checking in my bag. And so then I had to have the wonderful experience that they couldn't reschedule my flight until the plane left the gate, my plane that I could have been on, and that was 45 minutes later, okay? And you know what? That lady at the counter, she did nothing wrong. You know, that traffic, it was just traffic. The speed limit was fine. But because I began so poorly, I had a certain opinion about that speed limit. I had a certain opinion about that person in the front desk. I had a certain opinion about how long it took for that plane to leave the gate. Nothing was wrong with any of that. What was wrong was my beginning. Because when you begin wrong, you set yourself up for sin. You set yourself up for frustration. You set yourself up for pain. And here we are. God is doing a new thing. He's always doing a new thing. The universe is always expanding because God can't help but do a new thing. It's always happening. And as He does it, we want to begin the right way. Because the way we begin is going to be the blueprint. So I don't know. I can't tell you how many people, like, yeah, that romantic relationship, that dating relationship, yeah, the way you begin that is absolutely the way that's going to go. Your parents, you're starting out as parents, the way you begin, prayer, humbling ourselves, the consistency of your walk, yeah, that's going to determine how that parenting goes. The way you start that new job. Students, you're about to go to school. I tell every college student, every freshman going into college, I tell them the same thing. I said, if you'll take the first 2 weeks of your college experience and just full out be all about Jesus for the first 2 weeks, you will set the relationship structure for the rest of that year, and it'll be blessed. But if you go in and kind of like, well, I don't know how they feel about Jesus, so I don't know if I'm going to tell them about Jesus, then they're going to start offering you things that people who don't know Jesus do, and you're going to feel a lot of pressure, and all you had to do was from the beginning let them know who you are. You could have set the plate. Instead, you didn't, and now you're dealing with a lot more than you have to. How you begin is your blueprint. Middle school, elementary, high school, how you begin the first 2 weeks of school is your blueprint for how this year is about to go. And what we want to do is we want to make sure, as God is absolutely doing a new thing, as motivation starts off, as Cornerstone enters into a fresh season, as you and I sense the new things God wants to do. Had a couple who you would have just assumed what just an, I can't begin to describe how hurtful their relationship was with each other for over the last 2 years. And for the first time they came together at church, God had done something amazing in both their lives. And they were at church for the first time. He gave his life to the Lord this morning. And he said, we're going to do it different this time, Pastor Sean. We're going to do it way different this time. Because God's given us a new beginning, so we want to begin the right way. So I do believe that the word of the Lord is it's a day of new beginnings for two churches. I think Motivation is about to have its first season. And I think Cornerstone, because it's been obedient to give and to live out what church should be, I think it's about to have an absolutely fresh a season. And I think in our lives, there are things for every hunger heart that God wants to do that he's never done before as we give him what we've never given before. I want to recognize someone, and they're not in this service, but we always want to give honor where honor is due. One of our leaders over the past 8 years, Brandon Woodard, many of you know him, he's our business administrator. And he was sensing a new season, and you got the email this past Thursday that for the past year or so, really, he's been working on a ministry idea of doing church consulting. He's our business administrator. He's helped us. I said, Sean, I just have this passion to see other churches helped. So he and the family were in first service. I want to make sure we took a moment to honor him in second as we just begin to pray for him and say, hey, if we need to send you out because of the new season and there are churches, I mean, there's churches that need your expertise. Man, we hate to see you go, but we're all about the kingdom of God going. I mean, that's what we do. That's why we do Motivation Church. I told some people in first service, they were talking about, man, it's like I love it, but it's hard to, you know, have people go. I said, you know what? Our kids need to see this. Our kids need to see that church is not about keeping it all for yourself. Our church is about what next group of people needs Jesus. What next community needs a church. So we do that in faith, and we do it together. And so I want to look at the church of Antioch, because in the book of Acts, there's this church that starts out, and here's what's really different about them. They're the first church outside of Israel. So they don't know the temple, they don't know about King David and Moses and the Ten Commandments, they don't know any of that stuff. But as we read their story, they have a first season, just like Motivation Church is about to have. And when we see in Acts 13, they don't just have a first season, they have new beginnings all the time as they send out some of their own to start a new church. So I want you to look, it's in your handout that I've given you, this God's Day of New Beginnings. I wrote the date down because I wanted you to see it. And I wanted you, in that box underneath, I wanted you to write down this fact that how you begin determines your blessings. I want you to remember that as you look back on this day. How you begin determines your blessings. Beginnings are blueprints. And so God's going to show us some ways that we can build a blueprint. We can start off this fresh season ready for God to bless us in ways that he's never done before and to give him glory the way we've never done before. So read with me now. I wanted to put the scripture in there. I had to shorten it up a little bit. You can go back and read the whole thing. But just follow along as we hear about this story of a new church that started. Acts 11, verse 19. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution and connected with Stephen in Jerusalem traveled, and some of them went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. So for a whole year, Barnabas, and I skipped as Saul comes down, Barnabas and Saul met with that church and taught great numbers of people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. During this time, one of them named Agabus, one of the prophets, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire world. The disciples at Antioch, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. I want you to look at some of the blueprints of a beginning of a church and of a new beginning of every family and person. First of all, I want you to notice that this beginning started with pain. Now, the story is that there were Christians. They were all basically in Jerusalem. That's the only place Christians were. But then Stephen, one of the leaders of the church, he's one of the deacons, was martyred. He was killed. There was violence. There was protest. There was anger and chaos in the streets. And in the middle of that, a group of people, literally because the government ended up backing the murder and the false religious leaders ended up stirring up the people. It was no longer safe to live in Jerusalem. And literally, the people who started the church at Antioch were still grieving over what they had lost. And, you know, sometimes we live in this world that says the only time I have faith for God to do something new in my life is when everything is neat and clean and it's all done. And, well, those people do things in faith because they haven't had bad things happen to them. It's like, no, no, no. Look, in religion, when I do something for God and he does something for me, then I'll do something new for him. But in relationship with God Almighty, who is always good, who walks us through a broken world, that's not the formula at all. The formula is, you know what, it's hard. And there's tragedy, and there's things that are still hurting in my life, but I'm not going to stop taking the steps of faith God called me to take. And I want you to hear, some of us in this room were tempted to run with that logic. Well, once I stop hurting, I will. And let me tell you what, we need to be people who says, Lord, if you say, I'll go. If you say trust, if you say new relationship, if you say new step, even though I'm hurting, I'm going to say yes. Because I tell you what, when you start a new season that way, then guess what the enemy cannot do to you? He can't throw pain in your way to stop you. Because you started saying pain's not going to stop me. And Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Never let pain be a deciding factor of how God feels about you or what God's calling you to do. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. All right, number two, don't we see love and diversity? This is, you and I don't understand the significance of what was written there, but when it says a bunch of Jews reached out to a bunch of Greeks, that's like what you're seeing in Charlottesville and Richmond. I mean, that's that dynamic. And yet, someone comes and passes that barrier, not in protest, but to share the good news of Jesus. And as they do that, they come to the Lord, and I want you to hear this now, Micah 6:8. Do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. All of us who want justice are thinking, enough of mercy, because nobody's doing any justice, so let's just rail on justice, justice, justice. But until we tell them that there's mercy, and until we tell them that there's a way to repent, and until we show through Jesus that that is evil and that is sin, there's no chance for there ever to become justice. And so the gospel always has to go forth. Even as we rebuke, condemn evil, call evil evil, we still have to bring forth the good news of Jesus Christ. And then, guess what? We get in this room together, and our stuff is not resolved. I mean, we've said yes to Jesus. I got no clue about you. And what we do, though, is we say, all right, the love of Christ, love one another as I have loved you. We spent all summer on it. That's what we're about. Number three, visible grace. I love that the scripture says that Barnabas comes and it literally says when he what? Saw the grace that was among them. And we've got to remember that grace that is not seen, felt, or experienced is just a theory. It's just a theory. If you don't act on it, if you don't speak it out, if you don't live it, it's just a theory. Grace, God the Father didn't have a theory about grace for us. He sent his Son. His Son came. His Son gave. His Son bled. His Son healed. And you and I, every time we come into this room and every time we're in our church family small groups or every time we're in our neighborhood, it's not just grace we want to talk about and give them a thought. We want to share it with them. We want to cut our neighbor's grass or when they're suffering, go over and provide a meal. We want to, at work, demonstrate integrity and some things to help people who aren't doing very well. We want to be the person to go sit and eat with the person at lunch that everybody else is not sitting with. We don't want them just to hear about grace in the theory. We want to be part of letting them see it. That's what you and I have to be about. I love verse 23. It says, what does Barnabas encourage them to do? Keep Jesus out of sight. Stay faithful to the Lord. See, why does Barnabas have to do that? Because every church, no matter the miracles, no matter what's going on, every church can drift from Jesus at the center. They can start making other things the issue that's not the issue. They can start making other things the center. Every church, God shows up, and when they show up, every church wants to say, let's just do it that way all the time forevermore. It's like, hey, we're going to celebrate that and be part of it, but we've always got to be willing to do what God does next. We always have to keep it Jesus-centered, not just our history-centered. And so we enjoy our heritage, but we also are saying, God, however you want to do it. This Wednesday was a great day in 14 days of prayer. First of all, I got to be at the senior luncheon. Larry Fox spoke, and I'm telling you what, whoever was there, can you testify with me? That was powerful. I mean, we had like a prayer meeting at that luncheon as Larry was used by the Lord to call us to prayer, and we all responded. I mean, it was amazing. And it was just all that generation just believing for what's great next. And then that night, I got to be at our first ever Spanish worship service on Wednesday night. Oh, and that was good. That was really good. And I tell you what, man, I was crying as that thing was happening in the beginning because it was just a fresh way to see God do what he's never done before. And it's like, Lord, hey, you're at the center. You want to do something we've never experienced before? You want to show us a blessing we've never had before? We're all in. We're all in because you're the center. And then I love what it says about Barnabas. And isn't it interesting that God thought it was important that this be in the scripture? He said, by the way, Barnabas, he's a good man. And he was full of faith. And he was full of the Holy Spirit. Why does the Bible put that in there? Because maybe it's God's way of saying every church begins with good leadership. And, you know, we kind of live, especially if you're charismatic Pentecostal circles, like, oh, we don't need a leader, it's just the Holy Spirit. And I was like, yeah. Holy Spirit, definitely using a leader, okay? A servant leader, a humble leader, a wash feet leader, okay? But a leader. And what does that leader have to be? They got to have integrity. What's he saying when he's saying he's a good man? He's saying that person's got integrity. And they're full of faith. Let me tell you this right now. You don't want a leader in your life that's not full of faith. You don't want a leader who's not full of faith. Some people, their expertise is diagnosing what's wrong, and that's important. Like, value that. But I tell you what, a leader, in other words, moving you forward, has to be filled with faith. You've got to have faith. You've got to have someone who says, yeah, that's hard. Yeah, that's wrong. Yeah, you need to repent. Yeah, they need to repent. Yeah, that was hard. But you know what? That's hard. That's bad. But God's good. And the wilderness leads to a promised land, and the cross leads to a resurrection. And the last days leads to a beautiful, glorious reuniting at the Lamb's Supper. There, you've got to have someone who says, yeah, that was hard, but God's got, keep growing. Don't stop. And you don't want a leader not filled with faith, that doesn't believe. Now, it's great if someone can tell you everything that's wrong. You need someone to tell you what God's about to do that's right. Because all of us, I mean, what does Hebrews say? It says you can't know God or please him if you don't have faith. If you don't believe that he exists and that he's what? That he's good, that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. Like, he's going to be good. So I say all that, and I want to say one or two more things, but this is the point where I get to say in front of all of you that one of the reasons I'm so excited about this church, and we've got great men and women who are saying yes to this, but it's my joy to tell you that Pastor Travis Jones is a good man, filled with faith, and full of the Holy Spirit. And that's why I know this thing's going to be amazing. Pastor Travis Jones, will you come up here with me? Yeah. Love you. So this is a day about honoring. And I just want to take this moment. As we finish, we're going to kind of finish the sermon together once I get through a point or two. But it's just, you know, Travis, you've said yes all the right ways, you know. I mean, there's integrity in this man, the way he husbands, the way he fathers. I remember the times we've sat down together and talked, and Travis is saying, I'm trying to be the dad I never had. How do I do that? Yeah? Like, there's integrity there. Pastor Travis is having all the joys of lead pastor responsibility. He's in board meetings now with me. We're looking at Excel spreadsheets. So much fun. It's glorious, isn't it? It's rock star life. Rock star life, being the lead pastor. Man, and you know what he did? We're talking, and we're looking at his expense sheet. The doors haven't even opened, and he's already given the missions. Because why? What did you say in that meeting?
I don't know what I said. I forgot what I said. But
it was good. It changed my life.
Well,
good.
What we wanted is that I always wanted to say that the first check that Motivation Church wrote was towards missions.
Yeah. And what he said in there, he says, if we're not going to give now with little, we're not going to give when we have a lot.
Yeah, I did say that.
Bam. I said, amen, hallelujah. That was a Pastor Sean high five.
Yes,
all right. It's good. So I just, you know, Brittany as well and their family. And we're blessed to have the past 6 years of being part of the growth and mentor process. And doesn't our world at this time need a fresh church and need every church to be fresh again? And so I'm just thrilled for this leader. And I'm confident about what God's about to do. Fallen Creek Middle School, you can go to motivation.church to get all the story behind it. But September 17th, when that starts, it's going to start off in revival. It's not going to build up to it. It's going to be revival. And it's part of that is because there's a leader with integrity and faith. I want you to notice too, verse 26, Paul and Barnabas, they spend a year doing what? Teaching. All right? We want to win the lost, but then we need to do something with the lost, correct? We need to make sure that they're growing. And I want to encourage you, a lot of us in this room, man, we've made fresh decisions for Jesus. You may have made a fresh decision for Jesus, you've been in church 20 years or so. I would encourage you, go to Keep Growing. Because what we do with Keep Growing is we say, I don't care if you've been a Christian 30 years or 30 seconds, you got to do the same thing. Keep growing. Keep having a hunger to learn, to grow in God's word. And then I love that in verse 26, the word Christian, this is where it came from. There were people in Antioch who said, what do we call these people who are in our community doing all these good things, talking about the love of God, telling us good news all the time? What do we call these people? Because they're around so much, we need a name for them. Isn't that a great description of what a church should be? They'll be like, who are those people? You know, I don't even know if I agree with half of what they believe, but man, they sure do a lot of good. They sure serve and care. And they keep showing up. We better call them something. And Christians is just the term for Christ's slaves. That's what it is. Like, those are Christ's slaves because they just do whatever he wants all the time. That's what that is. And they're publicly known. They make an impact in their community. And whether it's been Shady Hill, whether it's been Cornerstone, whether it's Ethiopia, Jeff Davis Corridor, Fallen Creek Middle School, I mean, God's people should always be a sign and a wonder to the people around them. Just like, man, what is that? And so we want that part of our blueprint. And I love verse 29. They all said, okay, you know what? We're doing pretty well, but how about our home church? How about the people that we originally came from? They're not doing, let's be generous to them. And they decide, they heard bad news was happening in a community they weren't even a part of anymore. And they said, let's give. And that's the blueprint to a great church. Now, the beautiful thing is they could have rode that for years and years and years, said, we're done. But in Acts chapter 13, we hear about a time where they're having fresh prayer, they're in fresh relationship, and God speaks to them about fresh territory and says, I think we need to do more. So I want you to look right at the handout at the story of Acts 13. It says, now we're years later in the church of Antioch, but all the blueprints, all this is still happening in their church. And because the blueprint was there, they get ready for the next blessing. And the whole reason you and I know Jesus, the whole reason it got out of Asia and finally made America is because what this church did in Acts 13. And here it is. In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, he's a Roman leader, and Saul. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. I want you to see what they did. They had another fresh season. They had a new beginning because they let God change them through new relationships. Those names on that list, that's two Africans, two Jews, and one Roman. All right? Yeah, those people don't get along at all in those days. But they had let new relationships form to the point that it was actually the leadership of their church. And because they were letting new relationships into life, God was doing a new thing. So here's what I want every person in this room to take away from this morning. If you don't have a new relationship, if your relationships haven't changed, you really haven't changed. I want you to hear it again. If your relationships have not changed, you've not changed. Okay, you can tell yourself you changed, and you can, in theory, change. If it's not showing up in your relationships, you haven't changed. All right? I mean, Saul and Barnabas grew up as Jews saying it was unclean to be with a foreigner. Okay? Christ came in their life, showed them something different, showed them the equality of all mankind, and now they're having new relationships they've ever had before. You and I need to be about that. For some of us, like motivation, you're like, we're willing to have a brand new set of relationships. We're going to go love Fallen Creek Middle School and their community. We don't even know them yet. Let's have new relationships. Let's go for it. Okay? Some of us, it's like, I got some relationships in my house. I just need to have a new relationship with the same person. Okay? I need to have a new beginning with them. So I want you to hear that. And sometimes, I don't know if it's the chicken and egg, which starts first. Sometimes to change, start with a new relationship. Change your relationships, and then you'll find that God works out the change. It's kind of a circle that works there. But that's the best way to see if you've really changed. Pastor Travis, your thoughts about this as we move into this season, New Beginnings.
Sure. I tell you what, before I tell you my thoughts about this, yeah. We're talking about leaders and great leaders, and Pastor John, I mean, I have to honor you. I remember 6 years ago, Lance knows this story, but 6 years ago, we were making a decision if we were going to come and move from Orlando to Virginia. And I remember he was calling me to kind of offer me to come up and visit, whatever. It was an 804 area code. I said, absolutely not. I'm not answering that call. And I remember my wife telling me to answer the call, and we ended up talking. And a few days after that, Pastor Sean sent me an email. And he said, Travis, I know if you're a man like me, you're probably looking at the pros versus the cons of moving from beautiful Orlando to Virginia. And
beautiful Virginia. Insert beautiful.
So, and you know, during that time, there was like an earthquake here.
And a hurricane.
And a hurricane, you know. So it was like, clearly God was telling me.
And a recession.
Yeah. But I just remember you, Pastor Sean, you told me that sometimes your con list might outweigh your pro list, but make sure you consider what God's calling you to. Mm-hmm. And I tell you why, I'm so grateful that I had a leader in you in my life that you not only taught me to kind of look at the facts and look at what's in front of me, but you taught me how to live a life of faith. And so could we just give an honor to Pastor Sean?
Thank you, everybody.
Awesome. But, you know, speaking of new relationships, I'm so grateful for you all and for Cornerstone and for Motivation, everybody, that we're willing to take the risk for new relationships. And I just remember years ago, 15 years ago, I was in ninth grade, and I experienced somebody who did not belong to me, did not look like me at all. It was a middle-aged white man that came to my school that was predominantly African-American and Cuban in Miami. And they came to my school, and they invited us to church.
No swag. No, that guy had absolutely no swag whatsoever.
He had no swag at all.
But he had.
But what he did have was an invite, and it says free pizza on Friday night.
There you go. Take notes. No swag,
John's.
Pizza.
It was
Need
Papa
pizza.
Too, so it wasn't like that Little Caesars fake stuff. It was like real pizza. Anyways, so I just remember, like, you know, he was willing to take a risk to experience new relationships. And I'm here today because of that. And I think, you know, Pastor Sean, as we move forward, you know, Motivation, there's a group of people that said, you know, I'm saying yes, I'm risking new relationships. But I also believe here at Cornerstone, I think that all of you for the next season of this church need to risk new relationships.
That's right.
And this is why we push small groups and we push different things, because maybe you might have the very thing that somebody that you don't know yet need, and then that encouragement. And so I just want to encourage all of us that the risk for new relationships is a chance for life change. And people's lives are changed when we all take risks for new relationships. Microphone right there. Appreciate it.
Thank you. We're going to need people to step forward and begin to have new relationships and be willing to care for more people. As we do small groups, I mean, one of the things, we had 10 new small groups this summer. What we're really praying for is people begin to do small groups at their workplaces, in the community, and even in their homes. Like, do something new. And for those places that you're believing for God to do something new. I mean, especially, I mean, the enemy lies to us about, well, nobody wants to hear from me. I'm not the person that God will use. No, you are the person that God will use. And the very frailties and the things that you're facing are the perfect spot to talk about God's grace with people and say, man, why don't you grow with me? And so we're really believing in this next season that all of us will find those new relationships.
I think also, Pastor Sean, I think sometimes when we think about new relationships, we're thinking about our schedules and all that stuff, but we got to understand that new relationships birth new beginnings, right? And new life change. And so for us, for me, I engage in relationship, not that I love relationships, but I want you to engage in it not for the sake of relationship, but for the sake of the life change that can happen because of relationships. So that's the why behind it. The why is, man, new beginnings, new life change, new resurrection, new things happen when new relationships start.
That's exactly right. And that's what that church in Antioch did. That's what we're experiencing. We're going to pray over it in just a few minutes here. This second one I see in verses 2 and 3, they let God call them to new prayer. I mean, this church started in prayer, and it's continuing in prayer. And as they're praying, God's saying new things to them. So that's why we do the 14 days of prayer. That's why we want to encourage you always to find new ways to pray. Because when you do that, God does new things in you. Yeah. And so we want to be a part of that. And as you start a new season, you can't do it outside of this. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. Every beginning starts with him. So you want to find ways to like have new schedules and new expressions of prayer, because that is going to be how God sustains the new beginning that he's given you.
Absolutely. I think, Pastor Sean, I think that's the heart of Cornerstone, is it's the heart of prayer, because we know that prayer changes things. And I was talking to my grandmother a few weeks back, and I was telling her about all my, you know, anxieties and, you know, getting up for this, getting ready for this new church. And she was telling me about a prayer that she was to pray over me every day whenever she would take me to school, because she was a teacher at the school, at my elementary school. And she used to always pray a prayer. And she told me that part of that prayer was that, God, I pray that one day that you would use Travis to lead a diverse group of people. And I think about this, our Motivation Church team, how it's a diverse group of people. And what I realized in that moment was that my grandmother's prayers shaped history. And for me, I began to look at prayer a completely different way. I didn't realize that God gives me a guaranteed answer of my prayers. So now my prayers is, I'm praying so differently now. And that's why I think reason why we have first Wednesday prayer services every month, because we really believe that it shapes history. It changes things.
Yeah. Amen. And so we want to be about that as this new church begins. We want at Cornerstone, just to continue, we're going to share some ideas about some new prayer teams going forward at Cornerstone, but this is an important one that we want to share with you today.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we decided, what we needed, I mean, and, you know, it's so awesome to know that we're starting this new church, but, man, Cornerstone, man, God's got great things, and you guys are really supportive of it. And what we really wanted to create is a time where the Cornerstoners can come to Motivation to be part of our intercession team. And basically what that is that we're asking you to go to this website to sign up, so that way we don't have everybody come on one Sunday or everyone come on the first Sunday or the second Sunday. But we really want to spread it out. Reason number one, because we want to leave as many seats possible for lost people who don't know Jesus. We want to make sure there's plenty of room for them. And I think also is that we really believe that for those of you who can be a part of this intercession teams throughout, you know, maybe the first 6 Sundays, if you could sign up to be a part of that, because we believe that your prayer can really help our services out. And so you're not just coming just to watch and attend, but we're actually going to sign up to watch. We might put you in kids ministry. We might put you in parking ministry. I might tell you to give me an amen at every point. Just whatever. We'll let you know. But
are you allowed to do that? Is that? Oh, I'm going to have to take that one and use that one on Sundays.
Motivation okay. Team. Like, say that's amen. Like,
hallelujah.
Give me
right.
A preach it, brother. Give me all
right.
That stuff.
All right. Wow. I love it. I'm going to be talking to a bunch of you for next week. It's going to be great.
Keep growing.
Yeah. Keep growing. That's what we're doing. It's so good. And then lastly, I love that it says they placed their hands on them. They said, come on, go take some new territory. Man, God, I mean, like I said, the universe is always expanding because God's always taking new territory. Yeah. He never stops. And we've got to do that too. That's God's heart. And I want you to think, there's a group of people who came out of pain but saw God do amazing things in their life. They had relationships they never had. As they prayed, God showed up in ways they never prayed. And then you know what they said? Wait a minute, there are places that don't have this. There's a group of people, like, we've been changed by a new family. How about those people over there? Do they have a new family? And so I think that's the very heart of Motivation Church and Cornerstone. I think it's the very heart. I hope you'll see it as small group leaders. It's like, man, I'm enjoying this group. How about somebody else? And that may mean not just making your group larger. That may mean doing another one at a different time. I love it. One of our young ladies, I don't think she's in here, one of our young moms, Hannah, there's Hannah right there. Hey, Hannah. She was part of the mom. She heard about the moms group on Thursday morning. She's like, well, I work during the daytime. I'm not available. And so she decided, I'm going to have a young moms group at night for working moms. And it's like, we've got to say, hey, this has been great, but there's a group of people over here. They don't have something. I'm willing to start that family too.
Yeah.
And so we all want to take a new territory. So we get to do it today. Let's not just talk about it. Let's do it today. What we're going to do literally in the next few minutes is we're going to worship the Lord together. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back out and help us out. Can we say thank you to the worship team for all they do for us? They're awesome. And we're going to take a moment to pray together. And we want to do what the very scripture has said. Lay hands. And what we're going to do is in a moment, we're going to have the motivation team, the launch team, come on up front. And as we do that, we're also going to then, as they line up facing the rest of their church family, we're going to have the church leadership come first, and then everybody else can flood on in. And during the song, we're just going to pray for them. And then I'm gonna finish up prayer. And then what we're going to do is we're going to have the motivation team and Pastor Travis commission the Cornerstone family for its next season. And they begin to say, Lord, let all these things happen at Cornerstone for what is next.
Yeah.
And then we're just going to finish up believing God together. So I'm going to ask, first of all, if my wife and Miss Brittany would join us up here. Thanks, Pastor Travis. We're going to be watching over. One of the joys is we're going to be getting to, as couples, continue to pray for one another and believe for one another. And there's a lot of... there's a lot of weight to that lead pastor position. We got a great couple who's got the very integrity to handle it, and we're going to have a joy to pray for them as we all pray together. I'm going to ask all of you if you'd stand now. This is the time not to talk about church. We're going to get to do it right now. I'm going to invite the Motivation Church to come forward, and man, it's so exciting to see all of you in your awesome T-shirts today. You look great, and we're going to pray together. That's a special day, sacred day, history-making day today. And I'm going to ask as well, now, would our church leadership come on up front? And then there's going to be more enough, so everybody else just come on up too. We want to make sure every person has a person to pray for. Can we scoot to the right, everybody, a little bit and move on in there? We got to get everybody of this launch team in. All right, come on, Cornerstone family. Come forward. Church family, this is where we get to be the church. So your prayers get to shape history right now as we pray for God's blessing. And we're going to pray for new beginnings for all of us. Let's come forward. As we begin to pray right now, Pastor Brandon is going to lead us in prayer. So feel free to worship. Feel free to come up and pray. Feel free to pray right where you are. Lord Jesus, we believe greater things are about to come. Yeah, you're the Lord. God of this city. You're the God of this area. And Lord, we're praying now you do a mighty work. Let's worship together. Yes, we pray, God. Yes. Yes, Lord. Father, may your fire fall upon every home. May your fire fall upon every couple here, every single here. Lord, we're asking that new beginnings in the church would be new beginnings in their home through their family line. Father, we ask that you would, Lord, replace, Father, the pain of the past with the glorious presence that you're bringing, promises now and forevermore. We bless them in the name of Jesus. We send them out in prayer saying, King Jesus, be known. Let your love and your healing come to families living in darkness, living in isolation, wondering if anybody cares for them, wondering if any church cares for them. Let this be a mighty family for you in the name of Jesus. Everybody saying, amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask the motivation team to lay hands on all of you who are praying. I'm going to ask Pastor Travis to speak a commissioning and an anointing over Cornerstone and each of us as we move into what is new for the kingdom of God. Pastor Travis.
Father, I just thank you for the next season that you have for Cornerstone, Jesus. Lord, I know that there are many people, God, in this community, Lord, that needs more of you. And that, Lord, I declare that they will experience the love of Jesus by the work that's happening here in this house at Cornerstone, Father. Lord, I declare that this will be a lighthouse in the community for all different people, Lord Jesus. I declare that this will be a lighthouse for those who are Hispanic and those who are white and black and Asian, Lord God. And from all over the world, God, we pray that this may be a lighthouse for everyone, Lord. We pray and we declare that next season of Cornerstone is going to bring healing, Lord, to broken people, God, to people who feel like they're far from you, people who has given God a last chance, God. They're going to come inside this room and come in their services and experience healing, Lord God, and experience miracles, Lord God. People's lives are going to be changed, Father. And Father, we know that the next season of Cornerstone is going to be a season of growth, a season of fruitfulness, Lord God. And we declare that the best is yet to come. Great things has happened at Cornerstone, but God, you have even greater things in store, Father. And we declare for the leadership, Lord, Father, that you may raise up new leaders, those who have been sitting in the background, those who have just been attenders, God, that you would touch their hearts, Father, and they would take a new mantle of leadership, a new mantle of anointing over their lives, God. Lord, we declare it and we believe it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen. 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 Praise the Lord. So I'm going to ask you right now, if you are sensing in your own heart God's new beginning, if there's a beginning you know that God is having in you, a beginning you want, I'm going to ask everyone in this room, would you raise your hands and say yes to that new beginning? Lord, new beginnings, filled with faith despite the pain, filled with love for what is different, dear God. Lord, I ask that new relationships, new people, Lord, new prayer, and new places would be part of this season. We don't want to start something new the same old way. But let there be something new in the way we love you, in the way we pray, in the way, Lord, we go, and the people we love. Lord, we can't do it on our own. And Lord, even as we prayed Wednesday night for all our seniors, Lord, even, Lord, in the second half of life, greater days ahead. Greater days ahead. Prayers shaping history like never before. Answers of prayer in our families. Lord, for our Father, for our singles, dear God, for our young adults, Lord, greater days ahead like never before as you, dear Lord, raise them up in, Lord, your love, your peace, your holiness. Father, for families, for marriages, for parents, Lord, greater days ahead. We say yes to doing new beginnings with new people, new prayers, and new places. We love you. Can we all say praise the Lord this morning? Thank the Lord. Amen. All right, I forgot one thing. I forgot one thing. Peggy, there's a backpack next to my... There's one more thing we got to do today. All right? New places, new people. Excuse me, watch out over there. Thank you. God's people are always sending out and always continuing the same great gospel message. So, Pastor Travis, it's time to pass the baton. Amen. I know you're a track dude. Are you ready? Here we go. Dun, 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 dun. Where are you, Pastor Travis? Don't go too quick. There it is. Love you. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen and amen. Go in God's great new beginnings. God bless you.